Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But I'll get the feel of it, and I'm excited about making this home.
Aaron, at this point in your life, why do you still want to play?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. Like, I don't need it. For my ego, I don't need it to keep playing. A lot of decisions that I've made over my career and life from strictly the ego, even if they turn out well, are always unfulfilling. But the decisions made from the soul are usually pretty fulfilling. So this was a decision that was best for my soul. And I felt like being here with Coach T and the guys that got here and the opportunity here was the best for me. And I'm excited to be here.
Aaron, is it different physically being almost two years out from the Achilles as it was opposed to one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 41, so body feels different than it did at 25. But I feel better. I feel good last year. You know, I worked really hard. It was a tough couple years, getting hurt and then rehabbing for a year to get back, but I feel good.
Aaron, kind of along those lines, after the way things unfolded last year, what do you feel like is different about this organization and about you physically, mentally, that will lead to more success here?
I'm not gonna take any shots at my previous organization, if that's what you're trying to get me to do. I'm just gonna talk about these guys. I like the opportunity here. I like the feel with the guys. I like how Mike T's been in the meetings. Tom Arth and I known each other since 2006. He was in my quarterback room our first off season together. Still has the prettiest drop I've ever seen. So it was good to see him. Arthur I've known for a number of years. Obviously everybody in the Shanahan tree is close. Enjoyed our conversations over the last few months and the one-on-one times we've had in the meeting rooms looking at film and talking about the offense.
What have you grown to appreciate about the city of Pittsburgh and what are you looking forward to experiencing more now, you know, living here?
I love the Greenfield Avenue area. Mike told me to say that. No, I mean, this is a blue-collar town. You know, the history of this great area is building the structure of the country. So a lot of great people here, great fan base. You know, we played here over the years. They even got their own song they play, you know, late in the third or in the fourth quarter. But it's a special place to play sports. Just great blue-collar people, and I'm excited to meet some of the fans along the way.
Hey, Aaron, what would winning big, winning a championship mean to you as far as you've accomplished at this point in your career?
It'd mean a seventh championship for the city, right? That'd be great.
Is it internally, though, is there drive for you that motivates you in terms of pursuing that?
I mean, I have a lot that motivates me, but this is about the love of the game. The game has given me so much over the years and, you know, making peace with a nice long career.
Aaron, you mentioned the Shanahan offense a couple times. Is the familiarity already with this system part of what made this an attractive destination?
I mean, that was part of it. Yeah, I mean, I liked Arthur. Obviously, I've known Tom forever. A big attraction was Mike Tomlin. I've gone against him over the years. The way that the conversations went between him and I, between whatever it was in March or April, and, you know, the last Sunday when I called him, was some of the coolest conversations I've had in the game, definitely with the head coach. So he's a big reason I'm here. I believe in him and excited to play for him.
What about him makes you feel that way? Why do you say those things about yourself? What has he kind of shown you and rubbed off on you?
Well, I mean, we've had some great conversations, and I just appreciated the way that he treated me throughout the process.
What do you know of DK Metcalf and Pat Fryerman's game that makes you excited to work with them as pass catchers?
DK has been blowing me up for a while. You know, we got to get together out west, but I've gone against him a number of times. He's big, athletic, fast, got great hands, ball skills. But the thing that really excites me the most is his character. I think he's a high character guy. You know, I was teasing him the first conversation we had. He said, yes, sir, like 10 times. I said, is that because I'm 41? said, no, that's how I talk. So I like his whole personality and his approach and the way he is on the field, his professionalism. Pat's been blowing me up mostly on DMs and on the gram, but I've had respect for his game for a while too. He was just teasing me about 2-minute starters there at the end, but I like the opportunity to work with all the guys in the tight end room. There's a lot of guys with different skill set. I told Darnell today I haven't had a tight end like him since Mercedes, and Mercedes all-time great. Darnell is like a young Mercedes, able to do things in the passing game, dominate the line of scrimmage. Connor had a really nice day-to-day, I thought, making plays. So there's a lot of guys in that room with great skill sets.
Aaron, do you anticipate having another workout with any of the guys between now and training camp?
I do. I just got to get him. I got to try and convince him to come out to Malibu, California. It's going to be a tough sell, I think. Yeah. Tough sell.
Did you respond to Pat's DMs?
I did.
Aaron, did you do what? Your meeting here earlier in the year, did you leave with any material just to study what they do or anything like that?
No, I just got in my Malibu and took off.
Aaron, as we're going through your process this offseason, how much did you consider maybe other organizations would be weighing all your options, or when you decided that you were going to return this season, was Pittsburgh really the choice to come off?
I think there was conversations with other organizations for sure, but again, the rapport that fell in between me and Mike made it to where, as I was going through my personal stuff, there wasn't any other option for me. It was here or not play.
Aaron, at the end of your documentary, you said you're at the point of your career, no place to prove anything to anyone but yourself. What do you want to prove to yourself this year?
I said that in my documentary. I just want to have fun. I want to enjoy the game. The game's given me a ton. It's hard to think of anything in my life that's positive that wasn't impacted by directly or indirectly by playing this game. So just want to give love back to the game, enjoy it, pass on my knowledge to my teammates, and try and find ways to help lead the team.
I don't think you took any team reps today. Is that the plan the next couple of days? And how much was it learning? You had the helmet up, you listened to the play call. How much learning today on the field watching?
I can't stand the helmet. I've worn a shut for 20 years, and somehow it finally didn't pass the safety standards. But I'm just going through the script. Like, Tom's giving me a script so I can follow along, trying to like listen to the plays in my helmet, then say them back, and then read it. So for me, the more times that I write it or read it or hear it, the more it kind of sticks in. Again, a lot of stuff is stuff I've done before, but there's some new terms and new types of motion words and different stuff. So I'm learning. I'm going to go through the individual stuff. I think that's what Mike wants me to do. And I told Mike, if he wants me to practice, I'll practice. But I think he said he just wants me to stick to the individual until I got the offense down.
They got to buy a new helmet?
Shit, I hope so.
Aaron, it's been 9 years since this fan base playoff win. Do you feel you're that person that can help this team get over that hump?
We're day one of minicamp for me. So I'm just taking it one day at a time.
Aaron, a lot's been made about the ring on your left ring finger. Is that an aura ring or anything else? That wedding ring?
Maybe. Yeah, it's a wedding ring.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long ago?
It's been a couple months.
A few more.
You talked a lot about getting activated. Is there any trepidation over missing the OTAs, not being here for OTAs, and that getting the dough process now?
No.
You talked in your documentary about
sweet, two documentary questions. Yeah. All right. About what?
About mentoring Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And you wanted to give to him kind of what you did in college prep. Are you looking forward to doing the same thing with Will Howard here?
I am. Will's a good kid. We've got to talk a little bit. I thought he did really well today. He seems pretty bright. Not too big for him. Going through the progressions really well. I'm going to be with him every single day and every single meeting. Found my seat next to him today in the offensive meeting, whether or not that sticks, right next to Will Howard. So I'm going to help him out as much as I can.
Has he told you that he was 3 years old when you got drafted?
Not yet, but I'm sure he will.
Aaron, how much freedom do you anticipate to Audible to use your helmet experience kind of take over when you see fit?
I don't understand that last term, take over when I see fit. I mean, I've called some 2 minutes over the years, but the idea that somehow I need to or have spent most of my career playing outside of an offensive system is just not correct. So I'm going to learn the offense, and Arthur and I are going to talk a bunch this summer. And if there's things that I like that I'd like to see in the offense, Arthur, I'm sure, is going to put it in. But he knows how to call a game. I know how to get us in the right spot based on what's called. There's two or three plays called in the huddle sometimes. My job is to get us in the right play.
All right. On that note, and then we'll unpack everything else from Aaron Rodgers. That is the interesting thing about him, first of all, getting defensive about, like, I don't take over games. It's not my offense. You know, how dare you, but that's kind of a weird question. Why would you ask me that? I don't do that. I'm subservient. I didn't ask for all of my former Jet players or Packers receivers there. I didn't ask for all my coaches there. Like, he has a reputation for asking for things and getting what he wants. So I think that's a very fair question from Perzuta there to end the press conference, because a lot of fans are wondering about it. It's also very relevant because you would think the Steelers would have been fine with Russell Wilson having that kind of authority in an offense, and that they would have been fine with Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career having that kind of power in an offense, and they weren't. And both of those guys are Hall of Famers, and in Ben's case, he's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I know that Rodgers is all time better than both, but he's also older than both and probably has, I think he has less left than both of those guys then. So that's why I think this tug of war that the reporters are asking him about there is, like, completely fair. And you can give an answer right now that makes things seem like everyone's going to get along and he respects Arthur Smith and thinks Art calls a great game and all those things. But let's see what happens when they're actually, like, stalling as an offense and they've got a losing streak and things like that. What happens then? Because we know what happened last year. They hit a losing skid, and what do you know? A week after the season ended, oh, the offensive coordinator and Hall of Fame quarterback couldn't see eye to eye on things, and they couldn't wait to get a divorce. Even though we were told during the season, guess what? We're FaceTiming our wives together. That's how much we love each other. Whee! It's so much fun. We'd rather hang out with each other than have sex with our wives. Isn't this great? No, it wasn't. It was all BS. Right? I mean,
I'm still hung up on you saying Ben had more left at the end of the career than Rodgers. I don't even think that's necessarily true. But
really?
Ben was a guy whose best years were when he could improv too and still move around a little bit. He didn't want to hold on to the ball or do anything. Rodgers still has the arm.
Yes, but Rodgers also got rid of the ball super fast last year, a la Ben.
Yeah, but with a better arm. He's still, like, Ben's arm, I thought, started to weaken.
Yes, he still made clutch plays and got them to the playoffs, though, Malzi.
Where they were a dead team walking.
Yes, at least he got them there. Rodgers has played the last two seasons that he's been around for in full, last one in Green Bay and the last year in New York, and the teams combined went 13-21 with him under center.
On the other point, I just think Wilson and Arthur Smith was like a legitimate personality clash, and we know Arthur Smith wanted Fields. So he was being forced to basically work with a guy he did not want to coach.
Are you implying there you think this is going to go well between these two?
No.
I'm sensing that a little bit.
No, I don't. Van Slyke agrees with me on YouTube. Ben was a shell of himself. You're insane if you think he had more than Rodgers does in the tank.
Donnie, I feel like every time I've done a show now since Rodgers signed, like, Ben has caught an unbelievable amount of strays from people here. One guy called in and said they're not even in the same class. The next day it was Ben is totally out of shape, unlike Rodgers. And now it's Malzi saying that Ben, his last year, sucked.
Wait. Didn't say he sucked. I said he had less left in the tank than I think Rodgers had left. That's once again Pony throwing the old words and just jamming the words into somebody else's mouth. Did not say he sucked.
I would actually say when it comes to physically being in shape, it looked like Ben was in better physical shape than he was in, like, the middle of his career. He was just a much better player in, like, the early 2010s.
So you'd
he was a hoss there for a couple years.
So you'd rather have Aaron Rodgers right now than 2021 Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, Rodgers does still have the arm. He has the arm that Ben did not have. Like, Ben clearly had lost a bit of the fastball there.
Definitely.
Like, he was getting more like to the Reagan-era fastball, not the mid-90s. And Rodgers, yeah, the misses for him can still be bad, but when he wants to really put it up there, I think that his arm still stacks up pretty high.
If you remember, the highlight tape for Rodgers last year, and there are plenty of lowlights, the highlight throws were still pretty, like, jaw-dropping at times.
Ben's second to last year here in 2020, I would bet every dollar in my savings account two things he did won't happen for Rodgers. Rodgers won't win 12 games here, and he won't go 33 touchdowns to 10 picks.
Yeah, throw but 2020 out. It was 21. It was a goofy season.
You asked about
with 21. No crowds.
A goofy season with no crowds.
Offense noticeably spiked around the league.
You said last hour, stuff like Renegade has jumped the shark. Getting crowds up for things, not really a big deal. Now you're saying Ben was able to put up big numbers because crowds weren't there?
Broadly speaking, crowd noise does have some at least tangible impact on most NFL teams with false starts and procedure penalties. That's a fact. That's separate from saying the special song the Steelers play to try to get the crowd extra revved up is infallible.
I just don't remember you putting down anybody else's stats from 2020, but now Ben's stats are less impressive because of the lack of crowds at games. You've literally never used this to talk down any... We lived through that season together doing a show, and you didn't bring it up one time.
No, I definitely did.
No, you did not.
100% brought up how offense was favored.
I'll do a special search. There is not a tweet from Chris Mueller that
you
says...
You didn't say tweet. You said on the show. I absolutely brought stuff like that up on the show.
So it was a take that was only good enough for the show, but not good to live forever in Twitter.
Hold on. Do you tweet out every individual take you have?
I mean, if it was a big take, like take these numbers and throw them in the garbage because they happened in a year where there weren't fans at game, I think I might have gotten that message out to my social media followers. Yes, I do.
We had plenty of data in the next year or two to show that there was an artificial spike caused largely by there not being crowds. Nate tweets in, his elbow was shot. He was throwing 86-mile-an-hour fastballs like he was Bartolo Colon.
So, okay, what were, because I know you have it pulled up. So what was Ben's line in 21?
22-10.
You don't think Rodgers can do that?
I think he absolutely can.
And I understand that, you know, the box score isn't always going to match. We saw that firsthand last year. I mean, I think
he can do 22-10.
He absolutely can. I mean, the concern with him, for me, it's not the arm. It's just the mobility, like recovering from an Achilles injury at 40-plus years old.
He did look pretty spry on those little rollouts against air, Donnie. He was moving better than Starkey post-Achilles.
I'm not worried about the guy's arm or, you know, his football intelligence.
But you've also said you like Justin Fields more than him.
I like Fields more for the fact that he's 25 years old.
But I thought you and Pomp said yesterday, that you both think Justin Fields right now is better than Rodgers.
I think overall that he could be better than Rodgers right now. One guy's 15 years younger than the other.
Yeah, that's why I think Ben in his 30s had more left than a guy at 41. That's all I'm saying.
We're talking Ben in his late 30s. We're not talking Ben at 30.
There's only been one guy in NFL history that had a good season as a quarterback at 41. I'm sorry if I'm dubious and skeptical of Aaron Rodgers. My bad.
I understand that, but you said Ben in his 30s. Like, okay, Ben had his best year at like 32. We're not talking about Ben at 32. We're talking about Ben at like 37.
The interesting apple.
Yes, that guy got them to the playoffs by making clutch plays. We were both at the game in Minnesota where he played out of his ass. He didn't look like some ancient quarterback to me in Minnesota that night.
Humor me, though. With this, to do an apples to apples just to see how Rodgers could age. And the Brady being the only guy at age 41 to have a great year, it's a pretty strong argument. Rodgers is an all-time great, but you're bucking history if
you
do it again.
Yes, he is.
Rodgers at the same age Ben was winding down was winning back-to-back MVP awards. Like, so there was way more left in the tank at that age, which leads me to believe that if the arm isn't shot, and we know the arm is still good, maybe there is more left in there, which was all this argument actually, of course, was, that I thought he had more left in the tank now than Ben did in his very last year.
But I got defensive over Ben, and I should be. I'm going to protect the guy that franchises
and now
two-time Super Bowl champion.
I have been accused of having an incredibly weird hate for Big Ben, which somebody then explained by saying, that's because Ben called him out on his podcast.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Also true. A few minutes away from Donnie's biggest football topic of the day in the debrief. Richie Walsh next hour. He asked Aaron Rodgers the first two questions today as KDKTV Steelers reporter. And watch Aaron Rodgers' first practice in a Steelers uniform in person. Mike Tomlin just addressed Jeff Hathorn and others at Steelers headquarters after practice on Aaron Rodgers and TJ Watt being MIA. Let's listen in.
Man, had a really good and exciting day today. Very similar to the work we've done to this point in the offseason, but it's another step closer to a football-like environment. The days are a little bit longer, not only in terms of us being in the building, but the length of practice, we're at that stage where we get an opportunity to continue to work on our football conditioning and display it, present some more challenging schematics in all three phases, and just really a little bit more formal work. And so from a competitive standpoint, it's a fun environment, and we had a really good day, and I look forward to us getting back out and doing similar things tomorrow. Questions?
Any comment on TJ
Watkowski? No, certainly we'd like him to be here. But certainly not surprised by where we are. We've expressed a desire to get the business done. He has as well. And so we'll continue to work. We've been here before.
Mike, is there a concern about his future with the
team? No.
Did he give you advance notice that he wouldn't?
Whatever communication transpires between he and I will remain there.
What does Aaron Rodgers bring to the team in your eyes?
I mean, read his resume. We're excited about him being here. He's excited about being here, but we'll make no bold predictions. We're just going to roll our sleeves up and go to work and let our efforts do the talking.
Mike, he said that you wanted him to just do the individual stuff as he learned the offense. What went into that decision?
I'll be really straightforward with you. June reps are a heck of a lot more important for a guy like Will Howard at this stage of his career than a guy who's been doing it for 20 years. And so whatever snaps he gets, you take away from a guy like Will Howard, and we're trying to get this collective ready for training camp.
Like you said, I think the league meeting, you were comfortable being uncomfortable in terms of the weight or making decisions. How uncomfortable was it really, or did you kind of know you'd get to this spot?
It wasn't for me.
Are you envisioning a quarterback competition this summer?
I don't.
How beneficial could it be to have your starting quarterback, though, and
again, as I said, you know, physical repetitions in June for a guy with 20 years experience is not that significant. It's very significant for a guy with no snaps.
Does it change when he has no snaps here with these guys and this staff and this environment?
I trust that whatever issues or, you know, learning curve things that he needs to get through will be handled during the down period of the summer for sure.
Mike, Aaron said he appreciated the way you communicated with him through his personal stuff. What allowed you that patience of letting him go through that stuff while you didn't have him all
time? We've both been at our roles a long time, and so there's personal comfort and security in that, and maybe we could relate on that level.
In the past, when you had Russell Wilson here, his leadership and his veteran experience was a big reason why you brought him into the building. What does Aaron bring in that regard?
Read his resume.
Anyone else? I think Dunbar said Derek Harmon is a starter now. Is that how you view it? And
we'll sort out all of that division of labor and roles and depth chart things when we get to real football. Right now, it's just football-like.
Yeah, I was surprised that the longtime Steelers defensive line coach already anointed someone a starter before actual practices started. I can't imagine Tomlin was thrilled that somebody would already like let the cat out of the bag on that when he's literally done nothing yet to earn that spot. It used to sometimes take a whole season for a rookie to get there. A couple things. I'm happy Badko asked that follow-up on Rodgers. Yes, we get it, Mike. He's been in the league for 20 years. You know how long he's been on your roster for? 3 days. So just because he knows how to play quarterback doesn't mean he knows how to play quarterback for you. So I think that's a really good question. And I don't think Mike did a great job of answering it. Like, these reps are more important for Will Howard than they are Aaron Rodgers. I disagree with him on that. Like, it looks like for their purposes, their season's all about Aaron Rodgers being the best quarterback he can possibly be. Will Howard now is out of sight, out of mind. So I would want Aaron Rodgers spending as much time working on the Steelers offense with the guys in this offense, even in practice now, right?
It's not the same as Ben at the end of his career when it was his offense through and through and he didn't need to get up to speed on anything. I also just thought the most telling answer was the first one, basically, of what attracted you to Aaron Rodgers as a guy to bring in here. Read his resume. It's the same thing we've all been saying. Mike is collecting baseball card type players. His resume tells you what he has done in the past. You would presumably bring a guy in like this because of what you think he can do in the future.
I just feel like the last few guys they've done this with, and I hate to bring this up because he's my friend. Hey, read Patrick Peterson's resume. Hey, read Russell Wilson's resume. There's a reason why these guys with resumes like that are available in the first place, because they're not what they were on the resume. They're different guys now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That music means it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief, and it's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience, TJ Watt staying away, Aaron Rodgers is here, tons of eyeballs on the Steelers, and Donnie Football has more on the other big stories in football today. Hello, Don.
The Debrief, June 10, 2025. It won't happen until week 6, but the Steelers-Browns first matchup of the season already has some juice to it after the Aaron Rodgers signing. Greg Newsome, who got in the fight with George Pickens at the end of last year's snow game, he already guaranteed an interception of Aaron Rodgers. And then we had our pal Myles Garrett say this to Cleveland Browns media earlier today.
Rodgers coming into the AFC North.
What do I think about it?
Face him twice a year.
I think it's a good opportunity to put him in the graveyard.
And apparently it has something to do with Halloween.
Yeah, I guess. He decorates his big front lawn. There's lots of pictures of it. So everyone who wants to know what Myles Garrett's house looks like, you can go see it easily on the internet. He just puts tombstones with all the AFC North quarterbacks, or I think all the quarterbacks he's sacked and their numbers and everything, in his front yard.
How many tombstones would he have in his front yard if he just did playoff wins?
Same number as TJ Watt, or one more than TJ Watt. Sorry.
He'd have one.
Yeah. Still, again, doesn't work too well when we have to come back and say one more than the Steelers would have since 2017.
They could also very well have one inserted on their season by the time they play Pittsburgh on October 12th. Are you aware of what their first five games are? I didn't realize it was
Let's hear
this. Against Cincinnati at home, which they do oddly always play
Burrow,
Joe
tough
Burrow
there.
Pretty well. So we'll see how that goes. At Baltimore, Green Bay, at Detroit, and then international game against Minnesota.
So I think they're an incompetent organization that can't get out of its own way. Let me start with that. In many ways, though, like, their outlook for this season, I am jealous of. I think they'll find a way to screw it up, but they have lottery tickets at quarterback. Now, Kenny is one that obviously you guys don't think will pan out.
It's more like one of those scratch-offs that you could win $20 on.
They've got two rookie quarterbacks. Now, I thought it was kind of foolish to draft two, but, you know, two question marks. If none of them pan out, they're likely going to go like 2-15 or 3-14, and they've got a great pick. Now, for some reason, they do better than I just described. Then they'll have probably at best an average pick, but they also have Jacksonville's first round pick. So to me, this season is not about extending the Steelers' streak of non-losing seasons for Mike or merely winning one playoff game, which is meaningful to me, but not the end-all be-all. It's about finding your next solution at quarterback. And at this very second, I think the Browns have the potential to do that. Now, like I mentioned at the start of it, though, I feel like they have a tendency to really F these things up. But they've got the ducks in a row, so to speak, to really have their pick of the litter in next year's draft here. Like Donnie says, man, have you seen the way their season starts as if it's a bad thing? I'd actually be excited for like, oh, great.
Now, 0-5, we're on our way.
Now, but the difference, though, too, is like they've already done that. They've already gone 1-15 and 0-16 and watched it really not work out for them.
So, I mean, they had it fixed with Baker, and then his desire to play through injury and their stupidity
ruined
it.
Right, which gets back to what I said. They can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, see, that's why if I was one of their fans, I don't know how excited I would be, because it would almost be, I mean, you know how down people are always on the Pirates, and the Pirates have a golden goose of their own right now.
Yep.
I mean, don't you kind of feel that way if you're a Browns fan? Like,
I don't know. Have you seen these Shadur OTA highlights? Boy, they are throwing out every highlight throw he makes on ESPN.
But more than any other team in my lifetime, have they had either the first overall pick or a pick in the top five? And how often have they screwed it up?
Yeah, I mean,
almost every time.
That's why, like, Myles Garrett signing back there for all that money, he's the defensive Joe Thomas now. Cool. You got paid again. You're uber rich. You're going to be a Hall of Famer, but you're never, ever, ever going to win. And you voluntarily, willingly, signed up for more of that.
Mm-hmm.
You could have gotten traded, and that new team probably would have given you very close to that amount of money. And you'd actually have a chance to do something like team-oriented in your career. He decided not to do that because instead he wants to get an Aaron Rodgers tombstone in his front yard in suburban Cleveland.
Well, it's hard to find real estate in a new city where you can, the zoning ordinances, everything else. I mean, easements and what have you. You put those tombstones too close to the sidewalk.
But Donnie, to the point you were saying about, you know, about like how if you were a Browns fan, you'd have such a defeatist attitude about everything. And I agree with that. Like, I enjoyed for the last couple of years that we got to laugh and make fun of and poke fun at the New England Patriots again. I think they're right back to being in a better situation than we are. They put up with like 2 or 3 years of people dunking on them again and making fun of them post-Brady, and now they are right back to a better situation than us.
They got a potential dude at quarterback. That's all that matters.
Yep.
They got a guy who reminds me more of Big Ben than just about any quarterback that's been drafted in recent years.
I'd rather be them than us right now.
Steelers, I can see that argument because we've also talked about how we think that the Patriots could be a sneaky wild card team.
Steelers are addicted to the middle of the league. They are in the worst spot. They're going to go 8-9 or 9-8. They are addicted to being this way.
My good friend Nick Wright said it exactly right on his podcast today. His point was about the Aaron Rodgers signing. Their goal is to go 11-8. Okay, that's 19 games. What's that mean? Their goal is to go 10-7, win one playoff game, 11-7. Lose in the divisional round 11-8. That's what they're building a team to do. Like, best case scenario, that's what they're building for. They're getting together like, all right, how do we get to the round of eight?
How do we get one play? They're building a team to win one playoff game, period. Which it could be that happening.
That's their goal.
That happening could be as simple as the other team's quarterback is hurt in that game. And it might not even be you built a good team. You just got lucky.
And to that point, I brought this up to Bob yesterday, why I don't care for, and I haven't for a while cared for, the point that people, and Mike Tomlin will say this all the time, and I know that he's the head coach, so he has to instill some sort of confidence, but the people that will say, well, as long as they get in, then we'll see what happens.
That doesn't,
no,
yeah.
Because we do know what happens. They get in, they get their ass kicked.
One seven seed is one.
I want them to actually feel like a threat.
One time a seven seed is one since they went to the expanded playoffs. I don't think that Kyle Dubas has done a good job as Penguins GM, but I agreed with what he said at the end of the year. What's the point in just building a team that backdoors its way in?
He's talking about a playoffs in his sport that actually is hyper random and can go.
Yeah, not as much lately, but the history of it for sure is like that, Chris.
Well, it's a sport that doesn't have quarterbacks and doesn't have the one position can have an outsized influence on every series. If it could, guess what? Connor McDavid and the Oilers wouldn't have got their asses handed to them. But he's got his feet more firmly planted on the ground than the Steelers.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.